with us on the line, Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist and certainly one of the best informed people I know on so many things that are going on in the world today. And we're going to be talking about cancer. And I think many people are concerned when they hear that Peter Jennings, who we've watched for such a long time, has passed away. And now, of course, there are other people coming forward and announcing they have cancer. Cancer is becoming the most major cause of death in the United States, having passed heart disease is the major cause of death. We've had a war on cancer going back to the days of Lyndon Johnson. And it seems the more we have a war on cancer, the more cancer we get. And all the public health officials says, oh, we have no idea why this is happening. Oh, shucks, but we're going to spend a lot more money investigating it. But is it really true that they don't know why we're having an explosion of cancer? Is it perhaps there are things that they know that they don't want us to know? Well, with that as a background and a thought, and it's a pretty horrible thought, and yet, of course, we live in frightening times. Let's go to our friend Bill Sardi. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great to be with you. And, of course, we do have this special report coming out on my website, Cancer Among Celebrities Reflects the Failures of Modern Cancer Therapy. And, of course, we're talking about Peter Jennings. Tony Snow, Fox News, announced earlier in the year he has colon cancer. Of course, Chris Reeves' widow, Dana Reeves, announced she just has lung cancer. A non-smoker, by the way. She's an actress today. Took care of her husband for 9 years and then comes down with this cancer problem. Politician Bob Dole has lived 14 years with prostate cancer. He's the poster boy for prostate cancer surgery. And an Australian pop star, Kylie, who now has breast cancer and has the headlines this week said Kylie, of course, went in, found a lump, and then, of course, they took the lump out. And now thousands of women in Australia ran in to have mammograms done. Now, here's the disingenuous part of it all. The women mostly were of Kylie's age. She's 37. Women don't get breast cancer until they're over 50 or 60. Almost all of those mammograms will be wasted, worthless. And yet the doctor stood up and grandstanded and praised her and said she probably saved a lot of women's lives in Australia when not one life is likely to have been saved. And, of course, they're not telling you is that breast cancer and all other forms of cancer, and, of course, we have the people talking about industrial toxins and environmental toxins. And regardless of all that, and they're not good, and they're carcinogens and all that, but by and large, the thing that causes cancer? Age. And of course, as we get up in age, our immune system changes, our ability to absorb nutrients change, and of course, that's where we see the real risk for cancer. And more, I just try and point out that yes, it's not good to have these things, but the real culprit is age. This is where we get the problems. And, of course, Peter Jennings, who looked like a rather young and healthy man, who was a smoker for a long time, gave up smoking, and then went back to smoking after 9/11.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Bill, as we bring our other guests right online here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and well, today our guest is our good friend Bill Sardi, and he's talking about cancer and pointing out, of course, with Peter Jennings and Christopher Reeve's widow, both recently coming out talking about their cancer, Tony Snow. We hear a lot about cancer. But we don't really know, and nobody's telling you that cancer has replaced heart disease as the major killer in the United States. That is, maybe outside of medical events and iatrogenic disease in our hospitals, but certainly there are an awful lot of people who are dying of cancer today. And why is the incidence of cancer increasing when we have a war on cancer? And we're told that the government is doing everything possible to help cancer, and we've got all these expensive treatments, and an awful lot of them. Most of them don't do much good. A few of them already are quite effective, but so many of them will prolong your life 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. But you're still going to die after expending tens of thousands of dollars on treatments that do not cure cancer. They just prolong the misery. Go ahead and pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, it was Dr. John Baylor of the University of Illinois, University of Chicago, in 1986. Alerted everyone that we're losing the war on cancer. That was followed up in 1997 with Dr. John Baylor again reporting in the New England Journal of Medicine. Cancer Undefeated was the title of that report, and said despite decades of basic clinical research and promising new therapies, cancer remains a major cause of morbidity and mortality. And what he went on to say was that the rate for cancer, the mortality to die of it in 1994 was around 200 people per 100,000, and that was 6% higher than it was in 1970. See, so in 24 years, all they had done with $30 billion was the rate of dying actually went up. Now, these are age-adjusted fixtures, because I have to tell everyone, certainly we would expect more people to be dying as the population ages, but when we adjust for the ages, when we're still having the problem.
Okay, well, our guest is Bill Sardi, and he's talking about how if you do age-adjusted figures, you still find that the incidence of cancer is increasing. And the question is, why is the incidence of cancer increasing? With all the medical advances we have and the $30 billion we spent on the war on cancer, how could you do such a poor job unintentionally? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, certainly money isn't the answer. And when you really look at it, what Baylor said in 1997 is we need to readjust the money. It needs to go to prevention instead of treatment. What he was saying is treatment doesn't work. I don't want to completely disappoint everyone and think if you get cancer, it's time to give it up. But basically speaking, when we look at the numbers, it's prevention that must prevail. We don't have it. What we have is let cancer happen and then let's treat it, which is kind of the unspoken agenda. And that's just what has occurred with these celebrities. And of course, no prevention. Peter Jennings, a smoker, and I don't know whether his doctor talked to him, but smoking depletes your body of certain nutrients, vitamin C for one, 25 milligrams of vitamin C depleted per cigarette smoke. And certainly of all your carotenoids, your beta-carotene and lutein and lycopene and so on. So it's no wonder that we end up in trouble. Folic acid is depleted, and we need folic acid to repair our DNA. And so, sooner or later, things break down. I'm reading the story here of Tony Snow, who is back at work and working for Fox News. He's had colitis through most of his life and now comes down with this colon cancer. He's writing, and he was their poster boy if they ever had one. He went in every year for his examination and colonoscopy, where they'll stick a little tube in, take a look down your digestive tract, and he still got the cancer. Well, we're under some kind of illusion that mammograms and kind of searching around is preventive. It's not preventive unless you're assuming there's a treatment that's effective. And, of course, it's a little rough to say this to someone straight off who has the problem, but there is no cure for colon cancer, nor is there a cure for most of these cancers. There is treatment. I didn't say it wasn't somewhat effective, but there's no cure. And if you look at this, as time goes on, the cure rate, survival rate for 5 years for colon cancer is only about 36%, which is pretty low, and it increases with age and over time. And Tony Snow is just not going to be, as 49 years old now, he's not going to make it to age 55. as an announcer unless he gets into prevention, because all the treatments never address prevention. Now, what they do is they go in and resect the colon, take part of it out, because they found some polyps and things there. And then, of course, they put him on a couple of chemotherapy drugs as salvage treatment, kind of to catch all the remaining cancer cells. Well, you know, just if he would have used folic acid with those drugs, and of course we don't know what treatment he's getting, it would dramatically increase his survival chances. And when we look at colon cancer, the highest rate of colon cancer in the world is in an undeveloped country, India, and the lowest rate of colon cancer in the world is in an undeveloped country, India, and the highest rate is in New Jersey. In this country. Now the reason is that there's a lot of sunshine in India. They're near the equator. They get a lot of vitamin D, which is protective. And in New Jersey, they don't. And in India, the Hindus don't eat too much red meat. So it's the low iron load and burden that you have that'll protect you. And most of the societies that are living long and so on and not getting cancer certainly have iron under control. And you do this with green tea, you do this with whole grains, you can do it with dietary supplements and so on, but you need to control the iron. And Mr. Snow, unfortunately, is never going to hear these things. He's never going to hear that iron is the major factor in colon cancer, that vitamin D is absolutely necessary in order to get your health back if you have colon cancer, and folic acid. Because you just never hear this when you're the patient. Kai Lee, who's this wonderful, full-chested singer and entertainer from Australia at age 37, she's, of course, hoping that she gets the best treatment, and the doctors are saying they caught it at an early stage, took this lump out. But anyone hears there's no such thing as got it all. And if a one millimeter ball of tumor cells is left behind after surgery, that's 10 million cells. You didn't get it all. It's just going to start all over again. So unless you're doing something to normalize those cells and bring them back, and of course Kylie is likely to be put on either tamoxifen, which blocks estrogen completely, which blocks the growth of the tumor, but then your hair falls out, your bones wither, you go into depression. They give you antidepressants, bone hardeners, and a whole matter of other drugs. And, of course, this is no way to live. You get cataracts and all these things, and you age quickly. You don't need to do this. And had Kylie just been given some flaxseed along with her tamoxifen, she would have lowered her risk of lowered the tumor size by 74%, 50% reduction in tumor growth just by putting it in the mix there with the tamoxifen. So, you know, there's a way to do all this, but Kylie's never going to hear about simple little flaxseed meal. And now in the news this week, they're touting these aromatase inhibitors. This is an enzyme inhibitor, and they're saying it'll work better than tamoxifen. Well, it costs $250 for a month's supply. Tamoxifen only costs $70, so now they want to switch everybody to the more effective drug. Well, it is more effective, except Kylie and all the rest of the breast cancer patients are never going to hear that, well, flaxseed, the lignans are what they're called in flaxseeds, are natural aromatase inhibitors, and of course, they would cost around $5 a month. So, in fact, they work much better because they have other components in there that the drugs don't have to block all this. So, if you're a cancer patient today, are you going to hear the real truth? The point is, these are celebrities, and they start making them poster children for the cancer industry, and the cancer industry has failed. And, of course, these are just naive people. They wouldn't know any different. And, of course, they go on. And, of course, Dana Reeves, age 44, now coming down with lung cancer. And, of course, this is Chris Reeves' widow, and she's hoping that she can get this good treatment and so on, and yet she's never going to hear. If she asks about vitamin C, the doctors are going to dismiss it. And yet it was Linus Pauling in 1976 who showed you could quadruple the remaining survival of terminal cancer patients just by giving them intravenous vitamin C. And in fact, last year, there was a study that confirmed all this and said we need to reconsider intravenous vitamin C because it raises the vitamin C levels 160 times higher than what you can do by taking vitamin C pills, and therefore it would be good for cancer therapy. Linus Pauling was vindicated, but not one news major news agency reported it. Peter Jennings never reported on this wonderful study done to vindicate Linus Pauling, because it was never put on his teleprompter. The news media is selectively blacking out information that you need on this, and I do not know why.
Well, I could hypothesize why. You know, tobacco smoking has been known to produce cancer, not only cancer of the lung, but cancer of the mouth, of the larynx, of the esophagus, of the pancreas, and the bladder. So they've known this for a long time, and it really wasn't until about the mid-1980s, when I was a senior delegate at the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, when organized medicine finally came out publicly and said smoking is wrong and we should do everything we can to get the tobacco ads off the television. But what most people don't understand is that what the government, the federal government, has done was actually to protect the tobacco industry by putting a warning on every package of cigarettes saying the Surgeon General has found that this is hazardous to your health, and then allowed, of course, them to continue putting out the tobacco and, of course, killing people. They knew it was going to kill tens of thousands of people every year, not only in this country but throughout the world. It wasn't, you know, the federal government that stopped the tobacco companies. It was the wicked trial lawyers. It was the credit of medicine, organized medicine. And then, of course, it was the state attorney generals who wanted to get some of the money from that. Recently, there was a federal suit against the tobacco companies for $135 million, and they just about won the case, and then the Justice Department cut the settlement. They said, well, we only really want $10 million. What does that suggest? The real agenda of the federal government is it to save our lives, or is it perhaps they have another agenda?
Well, certainly when Bill Clinton was president, they went after the tobacco industry. But the tobacco industry, well, was evilly funding one political party. And, of course, it was competing against Bill Clinton's party. So his real purpose of going after the tobacco companies and pushing this along, this agenda, was really not anybody's health. The public thought it had a good moral charge to it, but it really didn't. And it was a smart move by Clinton to take out his competition source of money. And, of course, it worked cunningly well. But, of course, for the public to really understand, they don't care about your life. They don't care about health. This is all a big political fight. And, of course, that's what's really going down. And your life, the life of your loved ones, is caught in between. Bob Dole, who is a spokesperson now for Viagra, and of course said basically when he saw the doctor 14 years ago, Bob Dole was diagnosed with cancer 14 years ago, had the surgery, it's successful, he says, but if he didn't have the surgery, he'd probably still be alive also.
And that's the thing about many prostate cancers, the last 20 years, in fact, you'll outlive them, but of course, they seldom told that. We'll be back here in just a moment or two at Radio Liberty. And I think this is really such an important subject, because so many of the things we're coming in contact with are carcinogenic, and you're not being told. Why? Well, we'll be back in just a moment to discuss more of this whole incredible story. Most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes set, the secret government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist. And Bill studies all of these things, and if you look at the five-year survival on so many of the cancers, they're really not that very good. Certain things are really dramatic. I mean, the treatment of some of the leukemias and Hodgkin's disease have been very dramatic. But with so many of the traditional cancers, and so many of my friends have actually died in recent years of pancreatic carcinoma, two of the doctors I worked very closely with that helped me here at the station that died of pancreatic carcinoma in the last few years. We're seeing it increasing dramatically, and the longevity with this is just, well, and you're just talking about a couple of percent, and yet there are alternative treatments which are not allowed in America. And those of you who've heard our programs with Dr. Brzezinski, you know he has a very effective treatment for certain types of cancer, and the medicines he's developed are available, and yet, of course, they are not allowed to be used in America. Why would that be? There are a number of alternative treatments. They're not allowed in America. They're allowed in other countries, but not here, because they say, why, we're from the government, and we're here to protect your health. And yet, cancer is increasing, and of course, we know that MTBE, actually mandated by the federal government, was a carcinogen. We know, of course, that there's a connection between first trimester abortion and breast carcinoma, but why we can't even get doctors to mention that as a possibility to women who are going to have a first trimester abortion. But let's go into some of the other things. We know that fluoride are carcinogenic. We know that aspartame, NutraSweet, is carcinogenic. Bill just sent me something the other day pointing out the relationship. Agent Orange, which we used at our troops over in Vietnam, carcinogenic. But pick up the story, Bill.
Well, certainly when you, I want to go back to what you were saying there. Pancreatic cancer, one day, all of a sudden, they tell you you have it. 2% survival over 5 years. And, you know, one day, maybe in middle age here or on, as the cancer risk goes up, you're going to be told, well, you know, the 5-year survival rate for your type of cancer is, there'll be a drum roll and you'll be told. Now, if it's a prostate cancer, breast cancer, is pretty good. 70%, 80%, 90% looks pretty good because it stays localized. Usually it doesn't spread, not all the time. It's devastating to undergo treatment and so on. But generally speaking, those are fairly high survival rates. But all of a sudden you're being told, hey, you might make it 5 years, you might not. Is this all we have? They announce major cancer drugs that make people live weeks longer, and they call them breakthroughs. I would call those ineffective. And yet this is what happens, is one drug has beat another drug by just a couple of months, and now they say it increased the survival by X percent.
And there may be four months. You're going to live longer, 4 months longer.
Yeah, but see, on the numbers, that could sound like 80% increased survival. It doesn't mean anything. What does that mean? So, and, you know, here we have a wonderful study showing that just taking vitamin C every day, if you take it through the day, you can increase your blood levels 3 times higher than they thought possible. Now, if we can get to a blood concentration, well, I'll use a number for comparison, concentration with a number of 73, we would have a 50% reduced risk of dying of any cause and a 62% reduced risk of dying from cancer. If we can get to that level, we can triple that number, 73, to 220 by taking vitamin C through the day. Imagine what our risk for getting cancer would be. This is what I'm talking about, prevention rather than just treatment. So we know we can reach these levels. They lied to us. They misled us. They conducted a false experiment. They told us that vitamin C just created expensive urine. Don't take the pills. They're worthless. And then they were wrong all along. And then who said it? The National Institutes of Health themselves. And in fact, this last week, there was a report issued by the National Institutes of Health. And it was the Women's Health Study. And what they did is after 10 years, they studied the effect of vitamin E on health, and they said it made no difference in women's health for cardiovascular disease or cancer. And then buried way down in paragraph 10 in the NIH press release, it said that it reduced the risk of cardiac death by 24%. Now, they buried that because they said it was a secondary finding, and they said it was mostly among women over age 65, which wasn't the intent of the study. What the world does that mean? It's a bunch of gobbledygook. And simply over 10 years, if women were taking 300 units of vitamin E every other day, as they did in this study, you'd have, if everyone in America did it in the right age groups, over age 65, you'd have about 90,000 more women living.
Oh, that's off right there.
Died.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our 4-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story,
of the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for... Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423...
Well, this is Dr. Stan Mack here. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi. And Bill was simply talking about some of the statistics and specifically the fact that the studies had shown that if you took vitamin E and you're over a woman over 65, your increase, you would have a 25% greater chance of surviving from a heart attack. And yet that was totally played down by the National Institute of Health saying, well, this is unimportant because that isn't why we did the study. Ladies and gentlemen, if you find something that is going to help people survive and women to survive and avoid heart attacks, why is that unimportant? Why wouldn't you bring that out? Why would you play this down? Well, it wasn't part of the study. Was there justification? But maybe there was another reason why they didn't want people to know. And certainly the whole thrust of this article was, well, it doesn't do any good to take vitamin E. Wasn't that pretty well what they were trying to sell us? That these vitamins really don't do any good. What you want to do is use our treatments, the ones that are made by the drug companies that are paying off the people at the NIH. There have been all sorts of studies recently showing that many of the consultants at the NIH are getting kickbacks from the drug companies. They call them consultant fees, or they call themselves perhaps study fees, or but they call them what you will, they're kickbacks.
Well, certainly they're violating the ethics code there. They're trying to figure out how to hang on to the employees. Even the secretaries are complaining. You mean we can't buy stock? And they have insider trading laws on Wall Street, but at the NIH they get to learn about every drug being tested before it's approved by the FDA, and they know which stocks to buy, and they even want to give the secretaries a chance to cash in. And by the way, these are public servants, I should add. So what's happening here is in the study, the Women's Health Study, of course, what they did is they buried the headline read, vitamin E ineffective, and of course, way down, it really was, if this was a drug, they would have called it a blockbuster. Now, frankly, it wasn't even a 1% difference, but when you take a lot of people taking something, it could have made the difference of 90,000 lives. And I argue about the bad statistics and the sensitivity of these studies and whether they're really accurate. But nonetheless, if it was a drug, it would have been a major breakthrough. If it was a vitamin, what they do is they put this other headline up. They bury it because they are able to say, well, if you just took the whole group of women that were studied, that is, people as young, women as young as 45, you don't see an effect. But in the women that were 65, the highest risk group, you could see vitamin E starting to work, and then, of course, they statistically mask or hide the result, and then you can't see it. And then way back on the 10th, the paragraph of the press release, it says, oh, yeah, there was an effect, but we'll have to study that more because it wasn't the primary intention of the study.
And the old idea is that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And when you have an agenda, and when you're trying to discourage the use of natural health elements, and, of course, emphasize the very expensive drugs that we're telling people we have to take, why, of course, you would certainly want to play down that and say, well, it wasn't why we did the study, so why even bother to mention the fact that it did save the lives of a certain number of women?
Well, certainly this has gone on before, and we wrote the National Institutes of Health. This isn't the first time, and they're not correcting the... They're not having retractions and so on this vitamin C story. Their websites and so on still say vitamin C is worthless, when their own researchers conducted the studies to show the opposite. But, of course, as we move along in our cancer story, I know that people want to hear some good news. And the good news is there are some answers in the future here. I should add that the National Cancer Institute, all along saying 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, and then analyzing their own data and realizing you didn't lower the risk for cancer with 5 servings. And now they went up to 9 to 13 servings. Of course, that's still unproven, but they had to do something. And so here's the National Cancer Institute. I keep saying they are misdirecting us. You know, none of this really comes into focus when you hear all this. And by the way, when we're talking about alternative treatments, we're not talking about going to Tijuana for offbeat kind of treatments and things. We're talking about vitamins, minerals, things that are safe to use. We're just not utilizing them. And, of course, what's happening here is the public is being shortchanged. It's like I say, none of this comes into the proper view until maybe you understand that maybe there's an agenda to let this happen. Maybe there's an agenda to control population size. Maybe insurance companies or whatever, pensions and so on, don't continue to have to be paid if they let you die, you see. And this is the whole thing, is that when you see data coming out that the major corporations like General Motors, Ford, and so on have these big pension outlays, maybe if people just passed away sooner, we could get rid of that burden. So
I think, Bill, a lot of people would find that very difficult to believe that anybody could be that crass or indifferent, unless maybe they read the writings of Jacques Cousteau, who advocated that we're really going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day to get the earth back in balance. And anybody who'd like to see the article in UNESCO Courier, November of 1991, we have it. We'll send it to you. There really are people just like that who really have an anti-human bias. Could that be going on in America? Is that perhaps why they don't tell the American people that if you drink a couple of glasses of milk every day, your chance of getting prostate cancer doubles? Why don't they ever tell the American people that? Or if you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, your chance of getting colon cancer goes down dramatically?
Well, certainly all these things you can't fathom, because there's so many details and facts and things. You can't imagine what's going on. Why don't they tell us? Why don't they have us implement these things? They could even fortify our food so we wouldn't even have to think about it. And, of course, something big and spectacular is where we're headed here in this war on cancer. And I'm really chewing at the chance just to tell everybody in the audience. And, of course, I have to tell everybody and warn them I am slightly commercially involved in this report.
Okay, go ahead.
I did play a role in something that happened at Harvard Medical School. And what's happening is John Pizzuto, a researcher now at the University of Illinois, was at Purdue, was sent all around the world to study natural cancer molecules, examined 30,000 of them, got his report to the National Cancer Institute. The conclusion of the report is, forget testing anything else, just study this one compound. It has the greatest promise of them all. What was it? It was a red wine molecule called resveratrol. And, of course, it's the only compound that we know of that addresses all of the stages of cancer. I'll get into that in just a minute. But the entire promise of resveratrol to beat cancer was just reviewed this month by researchers in Milan, Italy. And what they did is they questioned the whole idea of modern drug companies coming up with man-made drugs. They thought it was too reductionist. That is, it was what they're doing is using single enzyme inhibitors to treat cancer, because cancers have little enzymes. You can block the enzyme. So they've got an enzyme blocker for this and an enzyme blocker for that. Well, these researchers said that that cancer is not easily treated with a single anti-tumor drug. Natural compounds from plants address whole mechanisms and pathways that interfere with tumors rather than single enzyme inhibition, which is accomplished with synthetic patentable drugs. So they're telling us we need to take a whole new different approach, and they're saying that natural compounds, while they're less specific, they perhaps offer more of an effective strategy for cancer therapy by inducing combinations of effects that may counteract cancer promotion. Now, what they're trying to say is that most cancer patients succumb to the toxic effects of treatment rather than the disease itself, and resveratrol, this molecule found in red wine, is non-toxic. It selectively kills cancer cells, and it is the most desirable of treatments. And even though oncologists are reticent to use the word cure, this is as close as biologists have come to a cure for cancer. And, of course, when we look at the data, and this is the spectacular part of it, is that resveratrol, it's been known since 1997, blocks the three stages of cancer, which is the initiation, that's the genetic mutation end, the promotion, that's the growth of it, and then the progression and spread, that's the metastasis. There is no anti-cancer drug even close to doing what I just told you. None. What worse yet, the cancer industry has to discredit and stop resveratrol because it's a dietary supplement. It will put the entire drug industry out of business. And that's why in the last year you've seen these headlines. Resveratrol is not bioavailable. It's worthless in dietary supplements. There's some truth to that. But in fact, they were using drug-sponsored research to discredit this when none of it was true, because it's certainly available when they give it to animals orally. It works in the lab. It certainly works in wine. It works in red wine. Of course, that has the alcohol and so on, which is undesirable. But there are these red wine pills, these resveratrol pills, a number of them on the market. Now, what the researchers have shown is resveratrol in the laboratory works wonderful. They keep it frozen, they pop a little top off the vial and use it in the experiments, and it works wonderful. Of course, it's been kept frozen, it's been kept away from light and so on, and researchers in a recent experiment noted that even using the research-grade resveratrol, as they used it, it began to lose its potency because it's exposed to air and light and so on. It loses its punch and it degrades and so on. And it actually turns, it's called trans resveratrol, turns into another form called cis resveratrol. So there's only one manufacturer of these resveratrol pills that actually takes and makes it in an airtight capsule. It's all made where air and oxygen never gets to it. There's no light. It's an opaque capsule. And that's a company I played a role in developing the product called Longevinix. But if this cancer remedy, if this gets out to the public where they understand it fully, it is going to profoundly change our understanding of cancer. For the first time, John Baylor, who said we must have prevention, this will make up for the sins of your diet. It will make up for everything. It is the best cancer prevention molecule that you could ever put in your hands. It's safe to take, and here it could be available as a dietary supplement for prevention. Direct access to the public, not expensive like these drugs at $250 a month. And, of course, this would profoundly change our understanding of cancer care as we know it. The public would have access to the most potent, natural anti-cancer weapon, beats all the drugs, has none of the toxicity and side effects. It just has to be preserved, because when it comes, it's extracted out of plants, and then it, once extracted, it needs to be preserved in an airtight capsule and so on. That's just the way they do it in the lab. Now, of course, you can expect, as there has been in the last year, lots of efforts to discredit this natural molecule, and you're going to see more efforts like this as we go along. But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to completely block this. We're just trying to get the message out to you. And recall now, there is no evidence that any brand of resveratrol prevents or treats cancer. It's just to tell you that the ingredients have been found to have profound effects. That would have to be proven in studies. In fact, in Europe, there's actually a study of a 500 milligram resveratrol pill underway in humans. It's passed the safety test. It's being used to see if it prevents cancer in humans, so in healthy humans. So we'll see if that that test is successful or not. But we don't have any evidence in humans yet, but we do know that this is the most profound molecule to prevent or treat cancer that you could ever come up with. It's not patentable. It doesn't come out of a laboratory. It comes out of grape skins and other plants. And, of course, it's going to be widely available to the public as it is today. So how this changes, the only question is, can we get the information to the public? That's all. And, you know, the public can decide on their own what they want to do. Obviously, if they want to begin taking these kind of pills, they can, and wait for more data and find out how well this stacks up. But I think for a lot of people, they're not going to have the years to wait for all this research to take place. And, of course, what is the most promising molecule that would prevent cancer? It's called resveratrol. And it certainly is, there's other wonderful ones, folic acid, vitamin D, vitamin C. All these things are wonderful, but they don't even approach what this one molecule does. It's a very simple molecule, can be taken easily as a dietary supplement. So I just think that the real problem is getting the information to the public. And you understand, dietary supplement companies are not allowed to say that any of these products treat disease or prevent disease, and those are good rules, because somebody could be making a false claim here. But the point is the public ought to have the information to decide for themselves.
Well, now, I have read one article. Doesn't the resveratrol molecule actually turn the genes off, and how many other genes in the human body?
Dr. Pizzuto called this a tsunami, a genetic tsunami, and actually they tested this. Hundreds of genes were switched off, and hundreds were turned on. All the good ones were turned on, all the bad ones are turned off. What they're finding is no one really has addressed what causes cancer. And what causes it, a genetic mutation and then this gene switching, and then what we call a cascade of signals, go from one cell to the next, making one cell malignant, and then the next cell, and so on. And, of course, what you're trying to do is get cancer cells to die off. They're immortal. Cancer cells grow up to about teenagerhood, and then they just remain alive. They don't grow up, die, mature, and die off. And so you end up with a ball or a tumor of extra cells, and, of course, that begins to take over your body and cause tissue damage. So
before you go on, we're getting short on time. I want you to get your website out and, of course, your telephone number.
Okay. For the report on cancer and celebrities, which will be out momentarily today. That's knowledgeofhealth.com, knowledgeofhealth.com. If you go to the Internet, you can find out all the information there, with reports on other health matters as well. And, of course, it's all free and of no commercial influence there. And then, of course, if you're interested in the information on the red wine pills, you want to go to longevinex.com, longevinex.com. But you want to learn more about this first, and I suggest that everyone investigate, try and learn as much as they can. I do know that I've been saddened to see so many of my friends die of cancer, die in terrible pain, die of treatment that ruined their immune system and gave them no chance of living, died with suffering from the treatment, not so much the cancer.
Bill, let's get the telephone number out.
866 405-4000, 866-405-4000. And, of course, the public wants to know, and we're trying to get the information to you. You need it in an unbiased fashion. And remember, the information you're getting on cancer, as you'll read it in our report online.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, built on his mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
The many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have
Hi, this is Joyce Riley.
Have gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I do have to mention that Bill Sardi does advertise with us, but I believe in his products. That basically I've been taking resveratrol for quite some time, and I really feel amazingly good considering I'm 76 years old. Under any circumstances, I've read the scientific studies that come out of Harvard and these other scientific studies that come out of Italy, and this truly is an amazing product that many of the scientists are certainly enthralled with it, and many of the drug companies are trying to figure out some way that they can change it so they can patent it, so they can market it to the public. But, of course, so far it's pretty hard to improve on the way God made it in the natural method. And, of course, the resveratrol actually comes out in a nitrogen atmosphere. It's made by one of the largest pharmaceutical manufacturers in the country. They put out the pills, and I just think it's a great product, or I wouldn't have Bill on talking about it. Then I certainly want to mention to you that there really is an agenda out here. And if you haven't heard the four tape set we have called The New Order of the Barbarians, it's an interview with a Dr. Dunnigan, who back in 1969 had heard Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking about the plan. of a group he called the Order, and they felt that there were too many people in the world. They were going, of course, to withhold treatments for cancer, come up with new diseases. It is the most incredible four-tape set you've ever heard, and we have actually transcripts of this, of some of this material you'll find indeed fascinating. You need to get our four-tape set on population control, our four-tape set on why do we still have cancer, our four-tape set on genocide, our four-tape set on Laetrile, and I personally was called by Dr. Dean Burke, who is the chief investigator at the National Cancer Institute of the Thank you.